AgroCast Resurrected.
Hi, welcome to the AgroCast. This is Raymond with David Hades Becker. And today we're going to talk about Genghis Khan 45 in Denver, Colorado. I, full disclosure, used to live in Colorado with my partner, Juliet, and we had gone to Genghis Khan for a number of years. And we know Donnie and Andrea, the folks that run the convention. We know a lot of the mainstays who are always there running content. But we decided to invite David and Ike. We're like, guys, you should come out. It's a great convention. Arguably, you could say it's even a national convention given the fact that it's been running for 45 years. It was a great time, and so we're going to kind of go over that. That was your first time at Genghis Khan.
It was, and I like to say, you know, unthank you for taking me out to negative 10 degrees. That's how cold it was when I first got out there. My beard froze. But other than that, the rest of the convention was a good time, so I didn't have to leave.
Well, and they had a lot of different games and content. I know we spent a lot of time playing D&D with the Adventures League. That has always been a mainstay because my buddy Michael McGovern, who runs Scale, which is the organization that, I think it's Southern Colorado Adventures League Events. They run Adventures League for Genghis Khan and a bunch of the other conventions in Colorado, and I think even maybe Wyoming at one point. Michael was in the hospital. We wanted to go and get the full experience. We've been running Adventures League here in Las Vegas, and so that was a great time getting down to be able to sit down at the table and play through some of that.
Oh, yeah, not just one table. There was, what, 15 tables just for D&D 5e? And only for Adventures League as well. If I remember correctly, there was multiple other rooms, not only just running other games, but other D&D games as well.
Yeah. Well, and then you got to play through an Epic.
Yes, I did get to play through an Epic, and that was an experience I've never gone through before. I mean, I've never been to an actual tabletop gaming convention before. But the Epic was something I've heard about and was always interested in seeing, because it's, for those who don't know, at least from my experience, Epic is everybody's kind of running their own table, but all of it builds into one massive story. And depending on how well individual tables do is how well the overall story goes, and we also came out on top,
which was really, really strange.
It shouldn't have happened
given what our table complement was, because we had three kobolds.
Three kobolds, because one person changed from a kobold.
We
had four kobolds,
because you, me, Juliet, and Ike, and then we had our buddy that was playing the dwarf. And then we had Coach, the human paladin.
Yeah.
And yeah, that kobolds were ridiculous.
Yeah, and somehow we won out everything else. We saved the day.
Yeah. it was great. But yeah, so it was a fun convention. It started on Thursday with GUI Cube, and they do kind of an event around that, which if you've never looked at GUI Cube, totally recommend taking a look at that. It's self-contained 5th edition content with picture cards and item cards and maps and everything that you need to run a quality game.
If you've never run before.
Yeah. And we actually got an opportunity to speak with the son of the gentleman who goes by Alphinius Goo. And we're hoping down the road to possibly do an interview with either Kim, who is Alphinius, or his son, who is just really entertaining. Mm-hmm. But while we were out there, we also did a bunch of interviews because we know a lot of the content creators in the Colorado area. So at some point, we're going to post the some excerpts from, as well as the full content for the interview with Mobius Worlds Publishing. That was Jennifer Scheinfeld and Corey Williamson, the CEO and COO. We also spoke with Bill the Bunny Keys, who has a setting for Prowlers and Paragons that is a really awesome, gritty superhero setting. We also spoke with Michael, the Professor Serbrook, about his upcoming Well of the Worlds setting for Prowlers and Paragons. And then we sat down with Ross Watson, who is an amazing game creator who has done a ton of work both for Warhammer 40K RPGs, for the Rift Savage Worlds conversion, just so much stuff. But he's working with Star Anvil. There's also work that he's doing on the Secret World RPG. So you'll get to hear about that in the interview that we did with Ross. We were hoping to catch Donnie and Andrea, but they were, of course, they were running around running the convention and doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
One of the things that they offer is a VIG, which is a very important gamer, which you get a really awesome lanyard as well as a swag bag, which I'm using for my AgroCast to carry all the equipment.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad I didn't go in as a VIG because I watched everybody walking away with the bags and I was like, man, I want that bag.
Yeah, they really outdid themselves, and even the t-shirts.
I think they had like special dice specifically for the very important gamers, and then kind of like the plebeian dice that they gave out.
Well, and they also had the tumbler. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of quality stuff that you normally see at conventions like Origins or Gen Con that they really up the game. So if you ever have an opportunity, I definitely recommend checking out Genghis Khan. I remember back in the day, and I can pull them out. I've got Dragon magazines where there were advertisements a long time ago with listings of conventions, and Genghis Khan was on there. And I know that California, I'm not exactly sure where, they have Kublai Khan.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know if they're working in tandem, but I did see advertisements there at the show. And
well, they had one for, was it Phoenix Con, is another one that looked like it was in Wyoming?
Yeah, maybe.
I remember it was somewhere not in Arizona.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing Phoenix Con, I was like, oh, I can go down and see myself. Wait, no, it's not in actual Arizona. It's just the name.
Well, and I know Donnie and Andrea also do Tacticon, which in times past was more of a wargaming, but I think it's kind of a everything convention these days, and it's going to be an amazing experience. That's not one I'm going to be able to make it out to, but that's another one I always recommend folks check out, because even though Colorado has snow, which we here in Las Vegas, we love the heat, the snow was a bit much, and of course it got better as we were getting ready to leave.
Yeah, exactly. But speaking of amazing experiences, you got to sit down and play a D&D session with the son of the man himself.
Luke Gygax.
Yeah.
Yeah, Juliet and I had the opportunity. Swolgax is what we were calling him, because this gentleman is just mighty. His arms are huge. His chest is huge. I'm like, okay, that's some goals. I just got back into the gym, and I'm like, okay, I got to do some work, because holy cow, Luke had some guns. There's a picture of me, actually, that Juliet took where he was showing off the gun show. But I tell you, sitting down with the son of Gary Gygax and playing D&D, it was 5th edition, but it was still D&D, with a table of folks, and it was a paid experience, so we paid a little extra for it. It was such a great game, because everybody there was basically, they had brought their A game. They were there to have a great time. And this isn't the slight other tables we were at, but it definitely shone through at Luke's table. And Luke was a really good game master. Now, of course, he talks about it. He's got gaming in his blood. And so, you know, it's not that I walked in with certain expectations. He did a great job. And of course, Juliet, being the amazing role player she is, when he called for who is the most entertaining player at the table, everybody kind of pointed at her, and she got an autographed copy of the adventure that he ran. So if you have an opportunity, Luke Gygax, if you can get into his table, definitely recommend it. He runs GaryCon, which was a convention that honors his father. We actually got to hear about it when we sat down at his table. Originally, it was kind of a celebration of life for his dad, and a lot of folks getting together playing games, and it just grew into this amazing experience that everybody participates in. So that's something I hope to hit. Of course, it's at the end of March, so it's not something we can do this year, but maybe next year.
Yeah, we just got to plan ahead.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the whole planning thing. So the Luke Gygax experience was great, playing Adventures League with a bunch of friends. I know Ike got to play in a Aliens game, which he had a lot of thoughts on that.
Aliens based on the horror franchise, the movie franchise, not just random aliens out there.
Yeah, it's not like, you know,
we're talking the H.R. Geiger type aliens.
Yeah, it's not Alan Tudyk sitting at the table.
Yeah.
But
well, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be amazing. That's a guy I would love to play D&D with.
If you're listening, Alan Tudyk, we would not mind to have you here.
We have a whole list of people. I would also add Jack Black.
Yes.
Because that would be amazing. Make Jack Black play a bard.
Oof.
Yeah. So we got to do that. In the dealer room was really awesome. I got to pick up a copy of Pirate Borg, which the gentleman who wrote that actually lives in the Colorado area. My hope is that I can hit him up for an interview so we can talk about Pirate Borg. And that's one of the games that we were talking about doing a playthrough.
Yes.
On Discord. Maybe we'll try to rope Frank Hartgrave into it and do some fun times. If you haven't checked out Morkborg, I definitely, definitely recommend. Book is amazing. The game is a fun OSR, old school roleplay game, which there's a lot of those out there, but this one really has a great feel and vibe.
That's a heavy metal themed
game,
right? Oh,
yeah. It's like death metal.
And there, see, yeah. Because
they talk about, like, after the game ends, you're supposed to go out and burn the book. And we know a fella here in town, Tyler, who's actually done that. There's a picture of him, like, in corpse paint, burning the book. And this one, Pirate Borg, they actually talk about when the game's over, you're supposed to throw it in the sea. So every one of them has that kind of aspect to it, even like Cyborg and some of the others. It's just great. And I love the art. It's amazing. So I got to pick up a copy of that when we were in the dealer room. There's a candle company that Juliet loves, and every year she buys candles from them.
Well, there was also the Dyson gaming one that we went to, and they said they were having issues because of COVID or whatever. It was like, but I mean, it was a local shop, right?
Yeah, oh, that was Lair of Abraxas. Was originally kind of a tavern, but they had started making dice, and then they really have focused down into making dice. It's a company I recommend. Colorado Locals.
Well, it's more to turn that into, you could also see how Genghis Khan is trying to help prop them back up.
Well,
because
yeah.
they had their own little space in the vendor hall as well, yep. as and all that.
Well, and that's the great thing. Donnie and Andrea really try to help support local folks, giving them space, giving them opportunity. But they have brought other artists in, like Derek Stevens is a fella that I met last year who done a couple of art pieces for us that we're going to put on t-shirts because they're just super cool.
Well, that's the one that I got my Cerberus picture from?
No, that was Sumro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Sumro is another gentleman that I'm hoping we can catch an interview with because he works for Chaosium.
Yeah. Well, he also, we can't talk about what he showed, but he showed some stuff for other things that are coming down the pipeline, and that looks so cool.
And I met him years ago at, I think, Starfest, because he had this zombie donut, and he actually had a picture as well as a sculpture of this zombie donut, and then I picked up a Comics Code t-shirt, which at some point we'll probably talk about that, maybe when Jules is here,
yes.
because she's a huge comic book fan too. Yeah, I was glad to reconnect with him, and then David was looking at his table, and there's this amazing picture of Cerberus.
Yeah, David's... and I think you were doing, like, you were trying to do an interview, and I was already pulling my card out, like, you sucked me in, I got this.
Yeah, because folks that don't know, one of David's dog's name is Cerberus.
We'll have to have him on at some point.
Yeah, yeah. He's highly excitable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just a really great experience. We had a great chance to reconnect with a lot of our Colorado friends, got to introduce folks to David and Ike, mm-hmm. and they got to meet one of the people that were out there was Jarvis and Kelly, which are old, not old. Jarvis is an old friend of mine. Kelly is his wife. I've only recently met
long time friends.
Long time friends. But Jarvis was one of my first game masters when we lived in Berlin. As you know, I was an Air Force brat, and Jarvis's dad worked for the Department of Defense Schools. So it was really great. Of course, they moved to Colorado as I was leaving to come to Vegas, but that's just how it always goes.
Well, to highlight even further, it also kind of shows how the gaming space by itself, like you get to go to these conventions where most people have that, you see the stereotypical nerd wearing just all sweatpants or whatever. But as we've been talking, everybody from every walk of life is here. So that's another thing it seems like Genghis Khan is highlighting as well. Yeah, you're going to have your stereotypes, but you're also going to have the swolgax out there. You're going to have, you know, people who work these different jobs you would never expect to be into. So it's kind of interesting to get to meet those kind of people out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and when we had a couple of cosplayers.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just a really great experience. And I'm glad that you were able to come out and share that with us.
I was glad too as well, minus the snow.
Yeah. So, after having done that, would you go to a gaming convention again?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Were there any games that you hoped to play that you didn't have an opportunity?
I kind of wanted to check out Pathfinder 2nd Edition because I've never played any of that. I would have been interested to see how Alien or Blade Runner played because I've talked to the people who've made those games, but I've never actually got to sit down and play them. I also would have loved to play Morkborg or Pirate Borg, but I think they were just out there selling it, not specifically playing it.
Well, and that's Free Press that yeah. does Aliens, Blade Runner. They have a whole...
Mutant Year Zero. Like they're doing the Walking Dead game. The other one that I think I mentioned in the past, like an 80s, kind of like a Stranger Things, but not Stranger Things.
Kids on Bikes?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was great to see them there because that was the first time I'd ever seen them out there as well. But the dealer room is always a surprise as to who you're going to see there. So I tip my hat to Donnie and Andrea, and I thank them for an amazing experience as well as their team, because they've got a whole group of folks that support them in putting on this amazing convention. I'm really glad again that you were able to share that with us.
Yeah, thank you for letting me see that little slice of your history.
Well, it's those things that help build the community and really bring us all together as friends. And stay tuned for those interviews with Mobius Worlds Publishing as well as with Ross Watson. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to the AgroCast Resurrected, the official podcast of AgroGamer. For more gaming news and reviews, please check us out at agrogamer.com. If you enjoyed today's content, follow and subscribe to get notifications of our next episodes.
AgroCast will realign your chakras.